There's an insert in your order of service, and as you look at it, our topic title for today is what? Amen. Investment tips for parents and grandparents. But first, saints, let's join our hearts in prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord, for relationships. The relationship that we have with you, Lord Jesus, and for the relationships that we have with one another. Today we celebrate especially the relationships of parents and children with parents. And Lord, we ask that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord, and just grant us clear understanding in our minds. And Lord, that you would deepen our understanding and just give us a love and a desire to go forth from here to be the very best we can as we parent, Lord, the children that you have gifted into our lives. And so we say thank you, Lord, for all of us here today. And we pray that each of us would hear, and that we would not just be hearers, but that we all would go forth being doers of your precious word. And we ask it ahead of time, Holy Spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's saints said, amen, amen. All right, saints, parents and children should be heartily aware of how valuable their relationship is. Our children are precious, amen, parents? They are a precious gift from God. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, children are a heritage from the Lord, a reward from God. Now, just imagine for a moment that your family is your greatest capital. All right? You just couldn't have anything greater in your life than your family. So if you could get some investment tips on how to grow in quality, amen, would you be interested? Are you interested? Oh, all right. Good. Well, saints, we hold in our hands a treasure of investment strategies for growing our family relationships, and that is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, frankly, we parents frustrate our children as much as they frustrate us. That's why Paul reminds parents in Colossians 3:21, in this passage, especially fathers, to not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Children also have a responsibility toward their parents, amen? Now, Paul told us in Ephesians 6:1-2, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor, respect your father and your mother. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when you are old. Now, saints, I don't believe that parents or children are happy when tension comes between them. Amen? There may be generational differences, but parents and children alike need to keep in mind that we are not each other's enemies. We are bound together as family. I want you to turn to your family near you and just high-five them and say, we are on the same team. We're on the same team. We are not enemies. Hallelujah. Now, if you would look at our sermon notes, we are reminded the New Testament emphasizes over and over how we are to relate to one another. All right, so together, let's go through those. We are to what? Love one another. And we are to be kind to one another. Then we are to bear with one another. We're also to one another. And we're also, and then, accept one another. Amen. Now, saints, there are actually over 50 of such exhortations emphasizing our responsibility toward one another as family. So look at your family and neighbors one more time and say, we're on the same side. We're on the same side. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. In our New Testament text for today, 2 Timothy, amen, chapter 1, we get another glimpse of Timothy's family from this pastoral letter written by the Apostle Paul. Now, Timothy's story was an ordinary story, and we see in verse 18, and we see that also in the first part of verse 19. And what we do know about Timothy is very interesting. We know from the book of Acts that Timothy was raised in an interfaith home with a Jewish mother and with a Roman pagan soldier for his father. Now, we know from 2 Timothy 1:5 that Timothy learned about God and Jesus from his mother Lois and his grandmother Eunice. Amen. We also know from 2 Timothy 3:16 that Timothy was taught about the Bible as a very young child, and that his mother and his grandmother had taught him from the Word of God as far back as he could remember. Amen. Parents, we've been given a precious responsibility to teach our children what thus saith the Lord, to teach our children the Word of God, the promises of God, upon which they can stand right now and for all of eternity. Amen. That they can know the blessings of God from being obedient to God's Word. Now, I want to take a moment, and I want us to look at a little girl whose dad is teaching her the Word of God. She reminds me of Timothy in this situation in so many ways. That this dad is teaching her how to know the promises of God and to stand on God's Word. So let's take a moment and look at this daughter and this dad.
Where's my shepherd? I put it at the camera while I'm doing the Bible
verse. Okay, good.
Why don't you look at the camera?
Oh, okay.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now my head, you anoint my head with oil. Surely, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness will follow me all the days
surely
of my life.
Goodness and love.
Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Her dad was teaching her the Word of God, praise God. And like her, Timothy's story is an ordinary story. We learn in this story that the good news of Jesus Christ can transform lives, amen. And there are thousands and thousands of ordinary stories all around us. And I just think about our congregation, and I look at the parents, and I just see how we have sacrificed going to games and being here for Bible study and life sharing and youth worship, and you come out and you bring your children for activities, and we just see you all sacrificing to teach your children the Word of God, and we praise God for you. Can we just say thank you to the parents in our midst? We just praise God for all of our parents. We thank God for you today. Amen. And this is what every Christian parent should wish for his or her kids. A life like Timothy, where our children, amen, are growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. Now, saints, every generation throughout human history has struggled with its own version of the generation gap between children and their parents. Now, parents say, well, the problem with kids today is that they have no respect, no sense of responsibility. And then at the same time, our kids are rolling their eyes and they're whispering to each other, Mom and Dad, they really need to get with the times. Our younger people look differently, they dress differently, they embrace new technologies, they're filled with new dreams and ideas. And they can tend to disregard the wisdom of we parents, amen. They figure parents and grandparents, we just don't understand. As a result, parents and grandparents tend to feel unappreciated by our children. Well, I think Mark Twain's comment about his father best sums up the generation gap. He said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I couldn't hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. Saints, I'm realizing that one of the greatest challenges for parents and grandparents is to help our children see the bigger picture. Amen. We want to help make them wise, to make wise choices, wise decisions for their lives, decisions that they won't regret later. So, saints, we must communicate. Everybody say communicate. We must connect. Say connect. And we must connect in love. Amen. Now, those of us who are parents and grandparents, you probably remember hearing on the radio sometimes throughout your life the song, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. Okay, do any of you young people know that, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover? Okay, that's the older generation, all right. All right, but I heard a remix of that, and it was a parent version remix. And it was 50 Ways to Say I Love You, and it was for parents. And so I'm just going to share a tiny bit of this remix that I heard. And it went like this. The problem's not that they don't hear what you say. They just seem to see things a different way. Just try these simple things. I'm sure you will agree. There must be 50 ways to say I love you. Oh, yes, 50 ways to say I love you. Pat them on the back, Jack. Just give them a hug, Doug. It's not just what you say, Fred. It matters what you do. Drop down on your knees, Lee. Listen patiently. That's all you got to do, Lou. Tell them I love you. Oh, yes, there's 50 ways to say I love you. Oh, yes, 50 ways to say I love you. And I just like that remix. I like it. I never did like the words on how to leave your lover. I'm like, what kind of song is that? But I do like the remix. Amen. But now, even with 50 ways of letting our children know that we love them, obviously, saints, during conflict, and everybody say conflict, because there will be conflict. There are different opinions and solutions that come to the surface when we are discussing issues with our children. And at times when those conflicts arise, relationships are strained. And God is the only one who sees the big picture. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. So parents, turn to God. Turn to God in prayer, parents. Ask God to help you see the light, to bring the solution that will be life-giving and beneficial. And saints, we must turn to God's word for strength and for guidance. You see, the Bible, God's word, is written form. It contains countless pro-family principles and precepts. And if we learn and practice them, they will make our families relationally wealthy. Well, today I want us to look at a few tips coming from the word of God. Look at your notes, saints. What is the first tip that we get today? Understand each other. Understand each other's words and understand the meaning of those words. Well, how do we develop an understanding spirit? Well, we develop it, saints, by making the time to really get to know each other. And by making that time. Now, I believe it was Yogi Berra, I think, who said, you can hear an awful lot just by listening. How many know that? You can learn a lot just by listening. Amen. All right, so I want to take another moment to see a few parents who are trying to reach out to their children to connect so that they can listen to their children. Let's look at these parents.
Johnny, we need to talk. I put this off far too long. You kids are in such a hurry. But when a man and woman consummate their physical relationship in the context of marriage, it is a beautiful thing. True love waits, Johnny. True love waits. Cherish your gift. Cherish it.
Nicole, we need to talk.
You got to take a stand just the right time. Just at the right time. I don't think that was exactly the best time. Amen. But we've got to connect. James 1:19 says that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. The parents, I don't know of any child that would be repulsed by a parent who was really quick to connect and to listen to them. Amen. All right, tip number two is what? Keep commitment. Now, it has been said that we should be generous with praise, but cautious with promises. Parents, we need to do everything we can to keep the promises that we make to our children. Why is keeping our commitments and honoring our promises so important? Well, parents, because we all tend to construct our hope around promises. If someone has promised us something, then we put our hopes for that, right? We're standing on the promises of the Word of God. Promises are important. Ecclesiastes 5:4 and 5 says, "So when you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make. It is better to say nothing than to promise something that you don't follow through on." Amen. Parents, we need to commit to our promises. Now, we can infer from this text the same holds true in our commitment to others and to our commitment to our children. In other words, we're to be loyal. Proverbs 3, 3 and 4 says, "Never let loyalty and kindness get away from you. Wear them like a necklace. Write them down within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will gain a good reputation." Saints, when we keep our commitment, it builds trust. Everybody say trust. Trust. There is no such thing as a healthy relationship without trust in that relationship. Trust is a firm foundation upon which the family is built. But keeping commitment can be costly. If you could show a picture that I brought with me today. Now, this picture is one of my favorite pictures of Samantha with her dad, Pastor Rick. And at this occasion, she was a cheerleader for Shaw High School. And it was Parents' Day. It was a basketball game, and it was Parents' Day. And she had asked both of us to be there, and we both said we would be there. I said I would be there. And I was there at first. And so I was in the bleachers waiting for halftime, looking forward to it. But I got my beeper went off. At that time, I was an intern chaplain at St. Vincent Charity Hospital. I was in a clinical education program. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, wow. I've been looking forward to this, and she has been looking forward to us being on the court with her. So I call up real quick. You have a half an hour to get in. So I'm really making sure this is really, really, really an emergency. And it was a serious accident. Someone had already died. Somebody was in the process of dying. So I had to leave. And I had promised her that I was going to be there. And I felt so bad, you know. It's like some commitments, you know, I intended to fulfill it. But it's not good to promise your children things and you don't fulfill on them. Because you have regret later. Anybody feel some regrets on some things you said you were going to do? But, you know, so we want to do as many of the commitments as we possibly can. But this is one of my favorite pictures of Samantha and her dad. So sometimes I just imagine myself in the picture because my heart was still there. Amen. You know, we need to commit to our promises, saints. Greg Cosper and I, we direct a gospel choir at Empire Computech School. And the children have invited their parents. A lot of parents say they're coming, or grandparents. And so you should see babies peeking in the auditorium. We're lined up, and they're trying to see, are their parents in there? You should see them. Can you see them? Can you see them? And for those who see their parents, and they know they're out there, their grandparents, aunties, uncles, this is how they come out when we walk out into the auditorium. They come out like this. That's how they look. Because they know their parents are there, and they are so happy. Like, that's how they come out. Because it means so much that you're there. that you cared enough to be there. And we just praise God that children want us to be there, Saint. And we have to honor our commitment and to be there for our children. So I want to ask us today, parents, got any commitments needing to be fulfilled? All right. Let's honor those commitments. All right. Does our time and attention to our children reflect that? Okay, praise God. Praise God. What's our third tip for today, Saints? Give some respect. Now, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect, is not something that just Aretha Franklin wanted. We all want some respect. Amen. We all want some respect. Praise God. We all want to be loved and respected. And our children want to be respected. They want to be loved. They want respect from we parents. They want us to take them seriously, to not write them off or write their dreams off as unrealistic or their idealism as impractical. They want to be taken seriously. They want to be respected. Now, last week at Walmart, I saw an unfortunate situation. I don't know what the little boy did. He was about this tall. And it looked like his grandfather to me. I don't know what he did in Walmart. But his grandfather was selling him off so bad when they was coming out the store. I'm like, well, did he steal something? I'm thinking, and I'm just walking. Our cars happened to be almost next to each other. He was calling him names. He said, he got in that car. And he wasn't saying a word. He was just humbly getting in there. And he said, don't even look at me. And he was just yelling. I don't know what he did, but the way the grandfather was talking to him was so demeaning. Even if he had stole a candy bar, you still don't talk to a person like that. I felt so bad. I just started praying. I'm like, Lord, just calm the granddad down and just give that little boy peace and help him to understand what he's trying to say, even though he was yelling. I mean, all of us in the whole parking lot was looking over there because the grandfather was just going crazy. But children, we must respect them. Amen. Even when they've been wrong in the way we handle situations. So the principle of respect is mutual. I want to ask, what would happen if children and parents and grandparents had a common vision of God's kingdom work? And that we were working together, face to face, standing together, building the kingdom of God, respecting each other for what each group had to offer. To me, it seemed like it would be like the day of Pentecost, Saints, when the church first began and the Holy Spirit of God began to pour out on God's people. And it was poured out on men and women and mothers and dads and children, young and old, slave and free. Without distinction, those people received the Spirit of God because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I want us to just take a moment right now to watch a video clip on celebrating respect for one another. Amen. Now, you are welcome to clap your hands as we celebrate respect. You can jump to your feet. You can do a dance with your neighbor. Thank you. just look at these few little things here. What does A say? Spend quality time, amen, with your children and with your grandchildren. It takes time. It takes time, saints. Spend some quality time doing things together, amen. And that's the next one. It says what? Do something special, amen, with your children. Make memories, amen, hallelujah. You know, even if it's just having a burping contest. See who can go the loudest. See who can win, parents or kids. I always lost because Anita Shaw knew how to burp. Because couldn't she, Sharon? She was one burping little girl. So, but just make memories, even if it's just a burping contest, amen. But do something special with your children. I remember one day we had a game, just driving in the car, looking at license plates, you know, the special license plates, just figuring out words, like if you see PRZ, then say prize, you know, just anything. And we had so much fun that we got where we were going before we wanted to, because the game had gotten so intense. We had so much fun just coming up with names off of other people's license plates. It was just great. Just do something special with your children and grandchildren. What's the next one? We got to pray just to make it today. Amen. Your children need to hear you praying, and you need to teach them how to pray. Hallelujah. That it's the Lord who answers, Lord. It's the Lord who makes a way. Pray together. The family that prays together stays together. Amen. What's the next? Eat together. I'm surprised at how many families don't eat together. Some might get a little plate and sit in front of the TV, and this one's in the bedroom, and this one's over here. No! We need to get at the table and eat together so we get to know each other. You can even teach and just love each other at the table. Amen. All right. What's the last one there? Talk to each other. Amen. These are simple, but yet they are so profoundly foundational, amen, to growing in love relationally at home. You see, saints, families can live in the same house and never see each other. It is really amazing. It is amazing. But parents, before long, you'll be wondering, where did the time go? Where did the time go? Take it from me. Take it from Pastor Rick. Where did the time go? We are empty nesters. Aren't we? Yes, we are. We're empty nesters. Can't hardly remember when they were little. Can't hardly remember when they was trying to help with the dishes or trying to help fix the car. Can't remember. It was so long ago. Where did the time go? Where did we spend the time? Saints, did we spend quality time doing something special, praying, eating together, talking together, loving each other, being kind, bearing with each other, encouraging each other, forgiving and accepting each other? Saints in life, I want to say this. Time waits for no one. Say that with me. Time waits for no one. Amen. It waits for no one. And in this game of life, we can only move forward. We can't move backwards. We can only move forward in this game of life. Life does not have a rewind button. How many wish that there were times that life did have a rewind button and you sure would have been pushing that rewind button? There would have been many times I would have pushed that rewind button. But life has no rewind button. So we got to seek to do it right the first time, or at least from here on out. Amen. Patrick Morley, he writes that as a young businessman, he always made it a habit to ask older men their regrets. And up at the top of the list, Patrick Morley says it was this. I was so busy trying to improve my family's standard of living that before I knew it, my children were grown and gone, and I never got to know them. Now they are too busy for me. Saints, I wanted to take one last look at a video clip, and it's written by a couple, Harry and Sandy Chapin, and they wrote this song, and it really speaks to this point. Let's watch.
Mm-hmm. child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat in the cradle and the silver moon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad, come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today, I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never shifted. He said, I'm gonna be like him, yeah. You know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat in the cradle and the silver spoon, the little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'm feeling like, Dad, is the bar of the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then. I've long since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time there.
One truth is certain. Time will not slow down, amen, and we'll never be able to undo yesterday. We can't say, play it again, Sam. Just can't do it. I have regrets. One of my regrets at another basketball game. Samantha was injured, and I wasn't there at that game. And it's like, oh, man, you know, I'm messing up. Oh, wow, wasn't there at that game. It's like all the games, and the game she gets hurt, I'm not there. But you know what? We all got some regrets. How many here today can acknowledge you got some regrets and things that you would have been different if you could have did that rewind button? But I want to say today, thanks be to God, hallelujah. It's not just how you start, but it's how we finish. Amen. Even with the past mistakes, our ordinary stories can finish well. Thank you, Lord. In Christ, we have hope. In Christ, we have healing. In Christ, we have help. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. in Christ, we have this moment right now. So parents, let's make the most of it. Praise be to God. Amen and amen. Let's join our hearts. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for each and every parent here today, each and every child. Thank you for all the relationships represented here today. Oh God, we